Spies vs. Prez. U.S. spies reportedly are keeping intelligence from Trump. Sensitive intelligence is being withheld from the president, President Trump, by U.S. Intelligence officials because they are reportedly concerned that the information could be compromised. Wall Street Journal Wednesday said that officials opted not to show the president how it collected the information on Flynn. The paper, citing both former and current officials, said the decision to hold back information underscores the mistrust between the executive branch and the spies. Representative Adam Schiff, Democrat, California ranking member of the House Intelligence Committee, said, "I've talked with people in the intelligence community with concerns about the White House, about the president. What the intelligence community considers their most sacred obligation is to protect the very best intelligence and to protect the people that are producing it." The report points out historically intelligence officials have held back information about how spies gather information, but in those cases, the information was not held back due to concerns over the president's trustworthiness. In January, Senator Charles Schumer, Democrat New York, head of the Senate for the minority, took on Trump over his criticisms of the intelligence service, saying, "Let me tell you, you take on the intelligence community. They have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you." Schumer told MSNBC, "So even for a practical, supposedly hard-nosed businessman, he's being really dumb to do this," according to Schumer. The Office of the Director of National Intelligence denied accusations late Wednesday that intelligence officials were withholding information from Trump. The Week Mag published about how America's spies, quote, took down Michael Flynn, Trump's former national security advisor. Damon Linker wrote, quote, "These leaks are an enormous problem, an effort to manipulate public opinion for the sake of achieving a desired political outcome. It's weaponized spin." Well, good morning to you, Kelly here. Thanks for tuning in. And so there's no doubt that, from what I can gather, that the spies did go out and do a hit job on Flynn because he was their biggest critic, and Flynn didn't help himself because he then lied to the president and the vice president. But having said that, consider this for a moment. Spies decide which information the president can have and which information is too important or too precious to share with him who's the president. So if that's true, the intel community has decided that its values, its mission, its worldview, whatever it decides it needs to fight for is more important than anything else. And I find this to be very troubling. And once again, this is 8 or 10 years of people that are devoted to Obama who have been weaponized themselves. You cannot have someone come in as an elected official and be over all of these agencies and be informed that these agencies don't trust you, so they're not going to work with you. You don't have a right to know this information. The president has the right to know everything, and he needs to know everything. Now, whether the president is dangerous is another issue, but is he really more dangerous than Barack Obama, having seen all of the crazy stuff that happened on his watch? So this is a battle. This is a debate over worldviews, and Trump is losing right now, but he's asking a friend to come in and to oversee. You know, what they need to do, obviously, is pull out these people that are not loyal to him, because you can't have any group of people who consider themselves to be more important than the president. That's not how it works. Now, when you're following the media and you've got all this hysteria and you've got this emotional bubble that the media is putting out there to try to encapsulate everybody to justify every single attack against the president is a defense of the state. How can that possibly be true? I mean, it's not true. Number one. Number two, we are democracy, or in the words of one of our listeners, we are a constitutional republic. We're a democratic republic, actually. You don't want to get rid of the democratic part of it, but the upshot is that you cannot possibly have these agencies acting as rogues, saying that our mission is more important than anything else. I mean, what are they going to do next? Have a military coup? Or a spy coup? Or a haiku, for that matter? Anyway, here's a little Trump blaming leaks and media for Flynn's ouster. This is the kind of foundational story. But beyond that, underneath it, is a group of people who are deeply devoted to leftism. And don't forget that leftism is really a virus. Michael Savage says it's a mental illness, but it's a virus that takes people over and reorganizes their thought processes and their values in such a way that they can't really make normal. Well, their values have changed, and so what they fight for this missionary religion called liberalism, and their desire is to build ultimately, I mean, folks, if you look at this, if you are honest with yourself, they want to develop a world system. And a lot of people don't know this, the individuals who are fighting for globalism do. They want to, and I've been trying to figure out a better way to figure this out. I don't think there is one. They get rid of the worry of socialism at a state level and, you know, downshift and go for some sort of a super state. I need to study, you know, I ordered every book that I could with the name global in it, globalism, and the outline's still a little bit hazy, but I have come to the conclusion that it is the desire for a liberal superstate, a utopia, a world utopia. Now, people who are into conspiracies will talk about the New World Order. Christians will talk about Babylon the Great. Other people will see it as some sort of an affectation of this corporatism, this giant, you know, this buying into these giant corporations that have no nationality and have no loyalty to any state, whose only loyalty is to expand and grow and become more wealthy. But it all kind of fits together, and Trump is getting in the way of this plan, this crazy plan that if it was achieved, would create a world prison, where the globe would become a prison. So all your freedoms would go down the toilet, and they're going down fast enough. All right, here's a little bit from CBS. Trump blames leaks and media for Flynn's ouster.
Has been at odds with the intelligence community since it said the Russian government at the highest levels intentionally interfered in the 2016 election. Elaine, Mr. Trump eventually accepted that conclusion, but has alternately described U.S. intelligence agencies first as resorting to Nazi and now Russian tactics. And one other personnel note, Vice Admiral Robert Harward has been offered the job of National Security Advisor to replace General Flynn. He's negotiating with the White House, Elaine, but is expected to accept that offer.
And Major, just to follow up on that, is there any kind of time frame when we could expect him to actually take that position?
I'm told this is very close to being worked out. The main issue, and I'm not even sure it's an issue of disagreement, but it's an issue of understanding. Vice Admiral Harward wants to have, as you might well imagine, some significant say over the national security staff that would work under him and would work with him. That's something that's being negotiated with the White House now, and it could be wrapped up as early as this evening, tomorrow at the latest.
Well, he's, of course, coming into the job at a tumultuous time for the National Security Advisor, National Security Council, rather. Do you know, based on the conversations you've had with your sources, why the White House chose him over someone like acting National Security Advisor Kellogg?
Keith Kellogg is a respected figure within this White House. He was an advisor to candidate Trump, and he participated in a good deal of the conversations during the Trump transition, but he is regarded as someone who would not really be fit for an interagency coordinating job like the National Security Advisor. He will probably have some future role in a Trump administration, but he was asked, because of his familiarity with candidate Trump and now President Trump, to hold this position.
All right, so I mean, this is really an extraordinary situation to be in. I think if anyone can survive this, it's probably Trump. But having said that, it is a very weird situation to see that these people who, if you met them, you may not feel like you have anything in common with them, these spies, these intel people, who are kind of their own breed. They've decided that their mission, their values are more important than the president's. And so now you see the danger of having Obama set up his army headquarters 2 miles away from the White House. Why, if the news agencies are so concerned about the future of America, why don't they report more on this? Because it's absolutely crazy that the former president would leave office and move across the street and start fighting the new president. And he's got his 32,000 paid workers, Soros staff, or I don't know how many of them are volunteers, but paid out of the Soros trough. And you've got these people trying to delegitimize the president. How does that help America? Is what we're going into, is the reason that we're doing all this so we can have a civil war? I mean, what is the end game for Obama to do all this? He delegitimizes Trump, gets him thrown out or to resign. Then what's next? Does Pence come in or does Obama come back? I mean, you know, and Obama is a person who has distinguished himself with one extraordinary failure after another. Even if you had a resistance movement, why would it need to be led by Obama? Other than the fact that he seems to be totally opposed to everything as quintessentially American. And, you know, if you want to find somebody who seeded distaste for America and authority into the American populace, it's Obama. He came in and acted like the job was no big deal. He was personally above the job. The job wasn't good enough for him. America wasn't good enough for him. Well, he continues this now, and then he throws this stuff. He throws this stuff back on the populace, and you know, then there's these attacks against Trump. Let's take a break here. Led Zeppelin Rain Song. I'll tell you a little bit about Oroville. Oroville could get up to 20. You're not going to believe this. I called my sister last night and said, I just got off the internet. They think that up to 12 inches could fall on Oroville in the next few days. It's totally unbelievable. The biggest storm of the biggest storm of the season is headed towards California right now. It's going to hit later today, and then it's going to have one more right behind it. And it's the center of the storm is for Oroville. It's crazy. So a little bit of Led Zeppelin, the Rain Song. We'll be right back. 619 Kelly O'Connell AM, Las Cruces AM, 1450, 523, 1450. Okay, so I'll get to those that storm issue later, a little bit later. But here is just looking for. All right, here. So here is probably as good of a video as you'll find on this. Is the Intel community trying to sabotage Trump's presidency? For Flynn to leave so soon would have never happened unless the Intel agency had not leaked the information to the media, right? So they're going after him. Who else are they going to go after? And it's obvious the Intel community believes themselves to be more important than the president, and somehow they hold this secret. You know, it's almost, I'm sure, must be almost a cultic view of the world where, you know, they're fighting for the true America. So the question is the true America look anything like Obama's America? If so, we're all in desperate, desperate trouble. Here's a little bit more from Fox.
Security advisor to President Obama's 2012 presidential campaign, Marie Harf. Marie, good to see you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning.
What do you make of all of this? First, a story in the Journal that's basically saying that spies are keeping intelligence from the president.
I hate to say this, but I just don't believe it. You know, I worked at the CIA for 6 years. I worked with Buck, actually. We were there at the same time, and the people I knew there would never do something like this. They pride themselves on being really apolitical. And
I mean, if they were apolitical, why did they smoke this guy out? Number one, they knew that he was coming after them, Flynn. And number two, this woman I remember her getting on TV and lying for Obama. So I don't even know why they put her on. But anyway, here you go.
And I just don't, I don't buy it.
You
I think that
it.
The intelligence community is more professional and better than that.
But,
I do.
But Buck, isn't it true that there are sort of career, you know, officials that work in intelligence that you may not be able to know?
No, you don't have people walking around the hallways of Langley that are open about their political affiliation. In fact, that would be frowned upon, and there's the Hatch Act, which would prevent people from acting in a politicized way in the course of their duties. But that doesn't mean, even though there is a law that would say you're not supposed to do that, and while intelligence is supposed to be nonpartisan, it does not mean that there aren't people who take it upon themselves wrongly to do things that are clearly partisan in intent. But the notion that people inside the intel community would be hiding information that is not theirs, it is the government's information, it's the executive branch's information, from the commander-in-chief because they are making the designation themselves that he cannot be trusted, that's a fireable offense right away. And I think that the notion, I have to say, I think Marie is correct in that it's unlikely to me that anybody who's still on the inside at a senior level would do that openly. Marie, I just want to point out, first of all, good to see you. It's been a while.
You too.
It seems to me that the part of the problem with this is that this campaign of leaks that's been going on, and there certainly are a lot of leaks to the press right now, intended to damage Donald Trump with respect to intelligence. This one in particular, you can't disprove this. So individuals who say, well, there's information being held
right.
back. We don't know what information. We don't know what kind of meetings they're talking about. And so this just lingers out there. But it has the intended effect, doesn't it? It makes it seem like the intel community writ large doesn't trust the commander-in-chief.
It does. And I think another thing we should talk about is people are assuming that the leaks are coming from the intelligence community. And as you and I both know, it's really hard to figure out where leaks come from. A lot of people have access to this information, whether it's law enforcement, in Congress. So I agree. Look, if there are people doing this in the intelligence community, it would be a fireable offense. I don't think senior people that are still there would do this. I just don't.
But Dagan, I mean, the Washington Post had the exact language of what went on in the phone call. So, I mean, Marie, you can say that, but how did the Washington Post get the transcript of the phone call?
A lot of people, more people than we would probably expect have access to those phone calls,
yeah.
Or someone tells them, someone reads out the transcript to them. I guess my point is just that we shouldn't assume it's the intelligence community who serve very, very proudly under Democrats, Republicans, who are leaking this necessarily.
What do you think, Dave?
But is it critical, and this is to Marie or to Buck, isn't it critical to find out who the leaker is at this point? Again, Mike Flynn was a private citizen of the United States when these phone calls happened. It's beyond the pale to think that these transcripts were circulated among many people in Washington, to Marie's point. And the fact that I mean, it potentially jeopardizes the safety of the United States that this is going on.
Well, absolutely. Look, the notion that you have a private citizen making a phone call and what seem to be intercepts of that conversation have been released by, and Marie is correct, many more people see that kind of information than I think much of the public is aware of, but that would be released for explicitly political purposes undermines the trust that the American people should have in the intelligence community, never mind just the relationship between the president and his top spies. So this is
all right. So we'll take another break here, but I think that there's this desperate fight against Trump. And every time that the media goes into action against him, and I had a conversation with somebody that I used to work with in radio yesterday at lunch, and it was a dogfight. I mean, I just spent the entire time, you know, you go to lunch to relax, and I spent the entire time arguing, or just, I really didn't even want to talk about it, but being forced to defend Donald Trump. And I'm thinking, this person doesn't even realize it's not so much that I'm 100% behind Donald Trump. It's that this country is going down the toilet and he's the only one who's even talking about it. You know, Hillary wanted to get in and put, you know, the Obama administration on steroids. She wanted to open up the border to potentially 600 million people in South America. And nobody in the media even reacted to that. So this idea that Trump is uniquely evil and everything that he thinks or does or says has to be attacked and torn to shreds to save America is not only intellectually dishonest, but it is the gravest threat to America. It is 1,000 times more dangerous than anything Trump could come up with. And it is totally un-American to just reject out of the box the American, the people that the American government or the American people elected into office. But the media was so proud of itself when they got Flynn to resign. And, you know, it's a very dangerous time when you've got people that are so deluded into Marxism, into leftism. I call it Marxism because Marxism is basically a summary of all the ideas that were around when he was writing. He kind of summed everything up. But, you know, Marxism as a general theory rejects Western statecraft, and it is totally lawless. You can do anything that you want as long as it helps the cause. And that's what we're seeing right now. It's very disturbing. We'll take a break. 6:31, Kelly O'Connell will come back and talk about, I guess we'll come back and talk a little bit about the weather.
It is the springtime.
Okay, here's your weather. And coming into California, it looks like an absolute disaster is about to happen. I was looking at some math last night on the amount of rain that could hit Oroville Dam and how, if it was kind of a worst case scenario, it could come very close to cresting over that dam again. And, you know, the fear is that damage has been done to the face of the dam, to the face of the reservoir in such a way that it's going to collapse. So, you know, keep those guys in your prayers. Here's from the Weather Channel on the recent Pineapple Express delivered to California today and another one right behind it. But L.A. itself looks like it could get 7 inches.
We've been talking a lot about the serious flooding going on in Northern California, but I want to remind you that we've got some pretty serious stuff coming up for SoCal over the next couple of days. There is a lot of rain on tap, and you remember this stuff late January? Yeah, Long Beach, places like that, we had some serious flooding issues. Look at this parade of storms, all right? You've got one that's hitting California right now. You've got another one out here toward the west. You've got another one even farther toward the west. There's just a huge stream of moisture that's going to be pouring into especially Southern California starting within about 24 hours or so. So we've still got the rain going on in Central and Northern California, but look at this. my goodness, that's a lot of rain. And you got to keep in mind, SoCal, that's not a place that handles rain very well compared to other parts of the country. So 5 to 7 inches of rain from L.A. to Santa Barbara is a very strong possibility through the weekend. The heaviest of that's going to be Friday morning through Saturday morning. By the way, if we get that much rain, that could set an all-time daily rain record. And, you know, the impacts here are going to be pretty bad. Definitely flash flooding. We'll have some mudslides. And the other thing that happens with the ground being so wet, trees fall on power lines, so you can get power outages as well.
All right. And what they're calling the biggest storm of the winter at AccuWeather, that was a Weather Channel right there, but AccuWeather is calling it the biggest storm of winter to unleash flooding in California at week's end. And it is exceptional. But I was watching a model of how they thought that the storm was going to play out, and it was, I couldn't believe it. The very center of this rain trough that was coming in, this Pineapple Express was coming in right exactly over Lake Oroville. And they believe, as I mentioned, it could be up to a foot of rain that hits directly into Lake Oroville. So what are the chances, you know? It sounds, of course, obviously, that it could be almost as bad down in Southern California. So here is here's the story from AccuWeather on the California Pineapple Express, the river, the sky river of water coming in.
Water continues to rush down the main spillway near the Oroville Dam in California. We've had major problems with the emergency spillway, so those repairs continue. In fact, that's what you're watching right now. Helicopters dropping loads of rock into severely eroded areas. In fact, up to 1,200 tons of that material per hour, these workers going around the clock. And again, the other thing they're doing, in addition to trying to repair that emergency spillway, is allowing water to flow out of Lake Oroville through the main spillway, trying to lower that water level in preparation for more rain. In fact, we're seeing it today across central and northern California. This is a soaking rain. Some areas are going to see inches of rain out of this storm system, the heaviest of the snow in the high elevations of the Sierra. And then what we see happen through tonight and into tomorrow, this is 6 a.m. on Friday, is that batch of heavy rain push its way farther south. So toward Bakersfield, toward Santa Barbara, toward L.A., eventually San Diego as well. Heavy rainfall through the day on Friday in L.A. into Friday night. In fact, the Los Angeles basin there, we could end up seeing 3 to as much as 6 inches of rain. Some showery activity continues farther north. So the highest impacts with this storm this weekend are going to be from San Francisco south to Los Angeles. We have to watch for flooding rain, flooded roadways, also heavy mountain snow. Mudslides and rock slides are also a possibility. And in general, traveling by air or by car, watch for major travel delays. And just a little bit of a heads up, this isn't the only game in town. We're going to see another significant storm system heading into California as we head through early next week. Of course, you can stay with AccuWeather for all the latest details.
And I had read somewhere yesterday that California had 228% of its yearly rain in so far. And they said today or tomorrow they could get more rain than they normally get in than they normally would get in the entire month of February, which is the February is the wettest month. Now, this is from What's Up With That. com, which is a weather site. The Pineapple Express is known as an atmospheric river. A large, slow-moving, low-pressure center off the West Coast taps into tropical moisture originating from as far south as the Hawaiian Islands. This moisture is then channeled northeast by the subtropical jet stream towards the West Coast, where the topography aids in squeezing out the moisture as air flows over the mountain ranges. Though these rains are certainly welcome and very much needed, they also have led to flooding and landslide. That is a understatement. Here is a little bit from a guy I found last night who's doing some modeling on this, and it's pretty ominous.
Wednesday, February 15th, 4:15 Mountain Time, 2017. Climate chaos rolls on. California, Oregon, Seattle, Washington, the entire state of Washington, northern Nevada, getting set for round 3. As another trough of moisture is coming in as I do this video. LA is bracing for what could be the worst storm they've seen in many, many years. They're looking at 6 to 7 inches, in some cases, maybe eight inches of rain. Here's a chart from the National Weather Service. Look up here at the Seattle area from Washington. Look at that. 9.48 inches of rain, 8 inches of rain, 6.7. Northern California, 5.64. Los Angeles, 7.36. So somewhere between the 6 and 8 range in Los Angeles. Most of this ground is already saturated, and it's only going to get worse. The Orwell Dam has been patched the best that they could do. They're confident that it's going to hold during this next round of rain. That will be put to the test. It will remain to be seen. Los Angeles to the test. It's going to get very interesting, guys. They've got Orwell fixed. They've got all of these flood warnings and avalanche warnings, high wind warnings, freezing rain advisories. You name it, it's on. But I'm going to show you something here in a minute that's interesting.
All right, well, we'll skip that. But one other thing that came up yesterday, massive heat under Yellowstone is not magma. But they found this giant, and I don't even know, I really don't, haven't even studied this enough to explain it to you, but a giant layer of carbon that is underneath a lot of the western United States, and they're saying that it could quite easily in an eruption be vaporized and put an incredible amount of carbon into the air for you global warming nuts. Okay, so here is some local weather for you. We'll be right back. 643, 644 on the button. Kelly O'Connell, AM Los Cruces, AM 1455, 23, 14, 15.
Your update's being brought to you this hour by Whataburger, and it's back for a limited time. That buffalo chicken strip ranch sandwich, it is one of my favorite things. Honorado Jack cheese, chicken strip, the creamy ranch, and the spicy buffalo sauce, and bam, and they're always around. No front blockers, yes, we'll just stay with my chance for the rainbow. My way 70, so you should be good and hit the clear if you've got to keep moving in that direction. But if you're headed the other way, I tend to bless out between Los Angeles and Pacific. I mile markers 91 through 95. You are going to have that out there has caused 3 major accidents in the past few weeks, so please be careful as you get on the ground. Here in Las Cruces, Beckport, Beck Street, Desert Road Court, Barney Lane, Nemish Drive all have work going on. Utah, the Delta Dayota, Mesquite Street, and people with your traffic. Also have a little bit of work going on.
And one last comment about Oroville. The long-term forecast is rainfall, and this is from whatsupwiththat.com again. The long-term forecast is rainfalls totaling within the watershed of the Oroville Dam that are showing the exact spot where Lake Oroville watershed is located will get 11.62 inches of rain over the next 10 days. The most accumulated rainfall in the entire western United States. So pretty amazing. All right. Now here is a little bit from Piers Morgan on the crazy attacks against the president.
Piers, I know you. I love the Daily Mail. I read it every day. You're a hard-hitting guy. You've gone after Trump when you disagree with him. You've also praised him when you think he does the right thing. Don't you think that that the media in this country has lost all perspective?
I don't think it's just the media. I think there are large swathes of the American people who've lost their minds, and the media are fueling this crazy hysteria. You know, here's what I think has happened. The media in America, the mainstream media, print and cable and main network news, they kind of collaborated in fueling the beast of Donald Trump. When he first ran, they started by saying he was a joke. Then they realized he was getting ratings. Then they gave him the airtime. Then they put him on the front pages. They kept fueling. But they never imagined he might actually win. And while they were fueling, he was out there running around America, galvanizing and resonating with the American people in Middle America, way away from the two coasts. And then came the moment when the American media went, we've got to kill this guy off. This is out of control. But rather like Dr. Frankenstein, it was too late. The beast that they had helped create, as they see it, could not be killed off, and he won the presidency. What I don't like about what is going on now is there is an absolutely frenzied and concerted attempt to delegitimize, sabotage, and destroy the Trump presidency before it's even started. I think that is un-American. I don't think it's a patriotic thing that they're doing. I think it's nakedly partisan. It's driven by the New York Times, who were completely in the tank for Hillary Clinton. And I think that as a journalist who worked at CNN for 4 years, where CNN always tried to be, I know your view about CNN, but has a lot of good people there. I think they've got to be careful, all of them. They've got to look at what they're doing here and ask themselves, is this legitimate journalistic rigor, or is it incredibly partisan, often nakedly abusive treatment of a new president? And I think, I'm afraid, it's bordering on the latter. This Russian scandal, when you play some journalists who I completely respect, when you play them talking about this being the new Watergate, being Pearl Harbor, 9/11, you know, the biggest scandal since Iran-Contra and so on. This is a wildly exaggerated view as the facts currently stand. The facts are there is nothing right now to link Donald Trump to any collusion with anyone from Russia in relation to the American election.
Nothing.
All right, so that's, I think, a good statement. Now, let's take one last break here. I want to play for you a little clip on Rince Priebus. Believe it or not, the guy that was the head of the party, who is now the head of the cabinet, he's the president's chief of staff, has been linked to leaks, believe it or not. And there's some people who are wondering if he's not out to get all of the people on the right in the cabinet in Trump's administration out. He's going to end up destroying his own job, though, if he's not careful. 651 AM Las Cruces, AM 1455, 23 1450. Be right back.
Are the sunlight in my room? So little warm. I felt the cold.
And so we've got this situation now where it is claimed that Rince Priebus is the person who's doing the leaking, which is extraordinary. He's going to destroy his own position. He is in over his head. But I mean, what is the, I mean, is this guy a liberal too? I mean, it's just crazy. Anyway, here we go. Here's just a very short clip on that.
I think the problem is not so.
And this is Christopher Ruddy, who runs Newsmax, talking to Stalter, whatever that guy's name, Brian Stalter.
Much him. It's the White House. The White House is showing not the the amount of order that we need to see. I think there's a lot of weakness coming out of the chief of staff. I think Rince Priebus, good guy, well-intentioned, but he clearly doesn't know how the federal agencies work. He doesn't have a really good system. He doesn't know how the communications flow. You know, I think Sean Spicer's doing a very good job under difficult circumstances, but I do think the president's not getting the backup he needs in the operation of the White House and sometimes the pushback that he needs, which you would have with a stronger White House counsel, White House chief of staff.
So they think that Priebus is the one who's leaking a lot of this stuff. Now, what is he trying to do? So let's just say, you know, here's the problem. We have approached media since the days of Cronkite and before as if these people are not biased and they're just going to show up and give you facts. And then you're going to take the facts and you're going to make of them what you will. But as time has gone by, we've had less and less straightforward facts. We've had more shaping of news by a lot of times leaving other facts out. And then as time has gone by and the American population has been dumbed down even more, it's more editorializing to the point now where almost all news is editorialized. And the people who do it, they don't apologize for it. They say, that's what we have to do. We're trying to save America. So instead of saying, you know, this is our viewpoint, take it or leave it, what they call POV news, point of view news, where you tell people, and this is what the very crazy journalist Hunter Thompson believed in, tell people what your bias is so that they can make adjustments. The media has pretended for decades as if they didn't have any bias. And it's sad. It's terribly sad because what you're doing is misleading people and then taking advantage of their naivete. And I mean, everybody should be aware of the idea of being propagandized. And, you know, it's, I just can't believe that these people think that they're the greatest people in history. The media thinks it's more important than the president. The spy networks, the intel community thinks that they're more important than the president. You know, Obama, who's not in office anymore, thinks he's more important than the president. Anybody who's a liberal, a true liberal, far lefty, is out there working their rear end off to get rid of Trump without any thought of, so what are we going to do? Default back into this broken set of ideas that Obama used to downsize and diminish America, break down the economy, make us more dangerous, more vulnerable. Is that, I mean, the implication is that they were fighting for this, you know, they're fighting for the Holy Grail. And apparently the Holy Grail was the leadership by Obama. And there's something so precious, so beautiful about it. And then Hillary Clinton shows up to continue it and make it even worse. Is that what these people are fighting for? Please tell me it's not, because it's so failed. It's so sad. It's so anemic and sickly. And that's what you're fighting for? That's what this is all about? That's why Trump has to be destroyed? We can't have some positive change? I mean, you know, and it gets down to the fact that if you boil down far leftism, it's incoherent. It's a set of principles that are totally contradictory, that cannot work, and everybody knows deep down cannot work. You cannot have an economic system based on the idea that the people who work are the ones that want to, and everybody else can just have a free ride. or that you can demilitarize and be even safer, or that you can treat everybody in the world like your own citizen and they'll come in and respect you, that you can lead from behind, you know, fill in the blank. All right, so from Heat Street, powerful Breitbart cabal declares war on Reince Priebus. White House National Security Advisor Michael Flynn recently became the first senior member of President Trump's staff to lose his job. He was forced out amid a growing controversy over his communication with Russian officials after the election. Recent activity suggests that White House Chief of Staff Reince Priebus could be headed for the door as well if a certain secretive cabal of media influencers get their way. Matthew Boyle, Chief White House Correspondent for Breitbart News, a Donald Trump fan website formerly run by White House Senior Advisor Steve Bannon, reports that Priebus's future in the administration is in doubt. And so they see him as a weak person. So is Priebus a bad person, or is he just in over his head, or is he just on the wrong side of the political issues in the cabinet? You know, I guess it'll all come out. Anyway, we'll take a break here on the hour. We have the sponsor of the show, Ben Rossin, coming in for the Rossin Report. So great to spend some time with you this morning. And I'll take you out with a little Led Zepp rain song, and it's going to be heavy-duty rain over there. It could be the greatest set of storms to ever come through California. We'll be back after a break on the hour.
It isn't hard to feel me glow. I watch the fire that grew so low.
All right, so we're waiting for Ben Rossin to show up. In the meantime, we have a little information from Boy George, who said that, tearfully, I was having a psychotic episode when falsely imprisoned a male escort. And this is in The Sun. Culture Club singer, real name George O'Dowd, Boy George, infamous cross-dresser, has finally plucked up the courage to address his scandals with Piers Morgan, who's all over the place these days, and has admitted that he was in a psychotic state when that happened, and please don't hold it against him, which I think is probably a good, you know, a good position to take. If he's psychotic, he didn't mean to do it. If he didn't mean to do it, don't hold it against him. All right. So, what do you guys think of this incredible attack against Trump? I've never seen anything like it. So here's a question that I have for you, and that I really wanted to ask the person yesterday who seemed to be taking out their fury over Donald Trump. I mean, here's what I don't understand, and this is something that happens from leftism all the time, is there's this idea that they stand for certain things, that these things are so true that if they say them to you, you've got to accept them to show that you're an honest and sincere person. You've got to immediately fall down on your knees and admit what the leftist says is true. And it is my experience that virtually all of these things are totally arguable. And you know, you argue against them in a normal situation. You would argue against them, and you would be able to, you know, put your side of it. But you know, when these leftists come up and they throw their stuff on your lap, and your credibility. And this person that I was talking to yesterday was like this. Pineapple Express, wave after wave of questions and demands and recriminations. And basically, this is my experience in life with talking with leftists, is that generally speaking, they're not very good at defending their own ideas. It's very emotional. It's very accusatory. When they're on the attack, they don't even allow you to respond because they're so sure that they're right. So, you know, it's just one of these things that it was unpleasant, to be totally honest. I wasn't ready for it. The person I said something along the lines about fake news, and the person went into overdrive. They went nuclear, spewing and fuming about fake news. And so anyway, we'll take a little break here, and we'll have Ben Rossin when we come back. A little more Led Zepp, Over the Hills and Far Away. Kelly O'Connell and Las Cruces AM 1450 from Houses of the Holy. And boy, they've turned the White House into a house of the unholy, these crazy libs. We'll be right back. 710 AM Las Cruces AM 1450, 523-1450. We'll be back with the Rossin Report.
Did you get that from the squirrel? He said, yeah, damn thing kept attacking me. Wouldn't stop until I left. Nobody can believe it, because who can say they have a squirrel that goes to their house? Which is crazy. He can't ask for much more than that. He's a pain in the butt, but he's great.
But he's a good boy. It is 7:12.
Thank you.
Well, it's 7:14, and we've got Ben Rossin here. Good morning, Ben. How you doing?
Good morning, Kelly. I'm doing well. How are you this morning?
Not too bad. So what's on the report today?
Well, you know, Kelly, we had a county commission meeting 2 days ago. It was, if not the longest, at least one of the two longest county commission meetings that we've ever had while I've been a commissioner. Kelly, a big portion of that, about 3.5 hours worth, was in closed session while we discussed, among other things, Julia Brown's contract, the county manager's contract. And so, of course, I can't share anything that took place in closed session, but your listeners should gather from that long of a closed session that there was a lot to discuss about and a lot of different perspectives on the count from the county commissioners. So I expect that we will continue talking about an evaluation process for Ms. Brown, and I hope that we'll see that on an agenda here sometime in March.
And can we know what the topics were about her situation that were shared publicly?
Well, you know, I would say that most of it is probably driven by the chairwoman when she was running for the office. She was very concerned about Ms. Brown and the job that she's been doing. So I think that's where a lot of that started from. Of course, you'll remember that right before, after two of the sitting county commissioners had lost their reelection bids in the primary, the Democrat voters said they did not want them to represent them anymore. Then those two and one other individual, Billy Garrett, gave her a 3-year contract extension, which is the longest contract for a county manager in over 10 years.
Were they dating at the time?
Well, I don't think so. But, you know, it gives you certainly gives the impression that the outgoing county commissioners, the ones who lost, wanted to make sure that their replacements didn't have a say. And that's not very encouraging to me. When the voters select somebody to be their county commissioner, they're wanting that person to have a say.
Well, I heard that Obama changed the rules for the intelligence community right before he left.
What did those rules get? What changed?
I don't know, but I'm just kind of curious. I mean,
and that's kind of the same thing that we've talked about here, whether it's the UDC there's a lot of these things, or the Unified Development Code. There's a lot of these things that the outgoing commission forced through, and it isn't like these guys were just running out of time or had been term limited out, but the voters had actually said in the primary, not even in the general, we no longer want the chairman and the vice chairman to represent our districts.
Right.
So they selected someone else in the primary. That's really significant.
There was an article that was put into the Sun News that I've mentioned a couple of times that said the UDC was how real democracy runs. And so the idea is that if you get elected, you can do anything you want because you're the people's representative. And the implication there is you can step far afield of what the average person actually wants as long as they elected you or you come out of their district. And I found that to be a rather extraordinary misrepresentation of what our own founding documents, the Declaration, states about what is legitimate democracy. It is representative of the people's wishes, and if it is not, it needs to be changed. And the people in Doña Ana County changed it.
That's
and
right.
For their efforts, they get slapped in the face on the way out the door by Wayne and Cock.
That's right. You see where Wayne and Billy not only gave her a 3-year contract, but gave her a 30% raise. You see where they also increased her the cancellation clause, or I forget what the term is, but if the commission fires her previously, she would have gotten a 2-month severance. Now she would get about $71,000. So, they did everything in their power in that last couple days to make sure that their replacements on the commission have nothing to say. And, you know, I think that's really hard for the new commissioners coming on when they say they were elected for a reason, for what they were campaigning on, and what Billy and others did prevents them from doing what they want to do. And so I think that's at the core of what the discussion was on Tuesday.
So Billy Garrett is personally a very pleasant, you know, pleasant person to interact with from my limited experience. He's been on the show one time. But it is a diabolical theory. It's extraordinarily passive-aggressive to do that.
Well, and you had also at Tuesday's county commission meeting, Commissioner Billy Garrett and Sheriff Vigil got into it with each other, started a shouting match.
Is it true that Kiki put him in a headlock?
No, they both stayed in their respective corners, so to speak, or their respective microphones. But Isabella did have to rule Billy Garrett out of order and hammer on the gavel to try and regain control of the meeting.
How did Billy Garrett react to being sent to the corner for timeout?
You know, it's really disappointing because we're losing decorum at the county commission. And it's
also nationally. Decorum is a sense of order and respect that you bring to your professional and hopefully your private life. But a sense of decorum is the acknowledgement that there is something bigger going on and you're fitting within a structure. And it's important that you treat other people respectfully and that you acknowledge the rules that are laid down. There's this massive attack on Trump that I think is threatening to overturn the order in this country. And I hate to hear that it's also happening through people like Billy Garrett, as well-meaning as he may be on a local level. But, you know, these people believe that they see a bigger, more true plan than anybody else can possibly imagine, and they are duty-bound to go after it no matter how many rules they break.
You know, it's I made a point during the commission meeting because we had a lot of public input that was all one-sided, and after every speaker there was cheering. The problem with that, Kelly, is that it discourages people with a minority view from saying anything, and that's exactly what they did. The Progressive Voter Alliance was at the meeting in full force, and they made sure that nobody stood up to voice a different perspective on Julia Brown. And that's the same thing you're talking about. We have these rules to protect the minority, whoever the minority is. Sometimes it may be me. Sometimes it may be someone else. Sometimes it may be one person in the audience.
It is often, say something. It is often you.
It is often me. But when you have the cheering that goes on, it just, there's a reason that in the order of decorum, we allow anybody to stand up and speak as long as they keep it civil. There's no cheering. We want to be influenced by the points that the individual is making, not by rah-rahing, for lack of a better word.
Yeah. Now, so when what I had originally heard, that the stories about Julia Brown when she wasn't on TV slam dunking a restraining order in somebody's face or bouncing it off their microphone on live TV, the idea that she had borrowed somebody's car for a couple of years until they had to sell it to somebody else. And also that she got a D- on a report card. Now, you may not be able to comment on this stuff, but that's out there. It's, you know, it's already been out. I didn't come up with this. People passed it on to me, you know.
Yeah, and you're right, Kelly. I'll avoid commenting on that. But, you know, we had, so Isabella or Chairwoman Solis, Isabella Solis, put this item on the agenda for us to discuss. The agenda was not published until Friday. But on Thursday morning, Julia Brown sent out an email to the Progressive Voter Alliance asking them to show up in support for her. I get a copy of the email, and so I sent her an email, said, please send me a copy of the agenda. And she said, you'll get it tomorrow.
Who said that?
Julia Brown. So the challenge that we're having here is we have a county manager in this instance that is more interested in getting public approval and getting people in the audience there than she is in responding to her bosses. And I see that as a very significant problem. When she'll tell her friends about something on the agenda, but if a commissioner wants to know, they have to wait till it's published.
And she's very defiant from my observation. But in any event, so, you know, this is so predictable, sadly predictable. It goes from one disappointment to the next.
Yeah, it's something, like I say, that we'll be continuing to deal with in the future. And I'd encourage anyone that has feelings on the issue to contact their commissioner and let us know how you feel, because we are supposed to be representing our constituents.
All right. So other than that, what else did you guys cover in the meeting?
Well, we had a couple other things going on in the meeting. Billy Garrett had a resolution to rescind the directive on how we were going to spend the 3/8, the largest tax increase in Doñana County. I kind of use that document as the excuse. This says we're going to spend the first $4 million in the sheriff's department. We're going to spend the second $4 million here. We're going to spend the third $4 million here. And, of course, that's been a big part of the issue with the sheriff's deputies and trying to get a pay raise. And so then Billy had it on the agenda to say, no, we're going to take that away and just use that money in the general fund, which I feel is a bait and switch. It is wildly inappropriate. Thankfully, we removed that from the agenda, so that did not get discussed. I do expect to see that it'll come back up in a future meeting, so we'll have to watch how that goes. We dealt with, now I'm drawing a blank. There were several other things that took place, but it was a very lengthy meeting.
All right, we'll take a little break here and be right back with Are You Done?
Kelly, I think I'll probably take off at this point and look forward to seeing you next Thursday.
Thanks for sponsoring the show, and thanks for giving us some information, especially on downtown Julia Brown.
Absolutely, glad to be here.
In her double pump restraining order slams. We'll be right back, folks. 725, Kelly O'Connell, Amos Cruz, the same, 1455, 23, 1450. Oh, and what's going on? It's Ross and Builder Supply.
You know, Kelly, we've brought in a new line of wrought iron entry doors. So if anyone's out there looking for some ideas or want to see what's available, we've got some new wrought iron entry doors that that have come in. Be glad to have someone come take a look.
Fantastic. Thanks a lot. Folks, we'll be right back.
Refurnished and rebuilt monthly payment.
All right. I have got the greatest debate for you. Let me read some headlines for you first, but I've got this great debate, and this guy is such a fool, and he's on Tucker Carlson. Trump celebrating stock market's longest winning streak in decades. Congress is crawling, tax cuts stalling. Obamacare was six times Obamacare repeals were passed when Obama was president. Now nothing, according to Ann Coulter. Oroville Dam racing to brace spillway as another foot of rain comes. 60% of refugee arrivals since judge halted Trump order come from terror-prone countries. Christian University in Texas opens prayer room for Muslims. Good Lord. Fear spreading across Paris as riots moving into suburbs, or suburb riots moving into city. And we already talked about the Flynn issues. Looking for anything else here that you might need to hear about. All right. Here is... Here, all right, let me just play a little bit of this debate with this guy, with Tucker Carlson. He tears this guy a new one. Check it out. Tucker is flying high. And obviously, this is from Fox News. I don't know. You know, I don't understand why people take somebody else's video and post it on YouTube with their own name, as if they have created content. I don't get that. But here we go.
Glut of fake news, and then widely proceeded to publicize a bunch of bogus stories itself. Small wonder then that a recent Emerson College poll found that the public trusts the Trump administration's honesty substantially more than it trusts the media. One person who's supposed to be a watchdog over all this is Eric Wemple. He's a media reporter for the Washington Post, and he joins us tonight. Eric, thanks a lot for coming on.
Oh, pleasure.
So I'm in the media. I read your column. I read the Washington Post. I read it most of my life. And in the past couple of months, I've seen a lot of stories, including some from you, accusing people of basically carrying water for the Russian government. And that's the Russian government's in the news today. So I thought I would ask you about something I've wondered about for a long time, which is that the Washington Post for years, many years, has literally carried paid propaganda from the Russian government, a section called Russia Behind the Headlines. It looks like newsprint. It's designed to fool readers into thinking it's real. And it's pure propaganda paid for, distributed by the Russian government with stories like, you know, we're doing a great job in Crimea. Why have you never written about that? How can you attack others when you don't know that your own paper makes money from taking propaganda from the Russian government?
You know, I think that's a really good question. I wish you'd told me you wanted to talk about this, but no, those inserts are interesting. They are.
But why didn't you write about them?
That's a good question. I think, you know, I got a lot to write about, but I am interested in that topic. And I appreciate you bringing it up.
But it's your own paper.
Hold on.
You cover the media.
I'm just interested. I do cover the media. I believe there are several newspapers that do run these inserts. I think China has one as well.
That's right.
They are what's known as native advertising, where there are signs to the reader that this is not your approved journalism. And I do think that people, subscribers to the Washington Post and the New York Times and other places that run these things, can differentiate between the news that is in the paper proper and the news that is in the Russia, China, so on and so forth insert.
That's really your answer? Because I would say two things. One, I remember a very famous piece that you did attacking Politico for running native advertising, mm-hmm. Mike Allen in particular, and you were all spun up into moral outrage over native advertising. And you never noted, again, that the Russian government is printing something in your paper designed to fool people, filled with the crudest kind of propaganda, but you didn't even notice it somehow. But I'm not surprised, because in case after case, you fail to cover your own paper running fake or misleading things. And I'll just give you a couple of examples in case you didn't see them. On February 14th,
Mr. Carlson, I need to back you up there on that, back up there on that premise. The thing that I wrote about Mike Allen was a different case altogether. It was a headline that said Native Advertising Pioneer. That was a cheeky way of saying that he was folding endorsements of companies and so on and so forth into the very text of his newsletter. There was no attempt whatsoever to differentiate that from his from advertising. They had sponsors in that newsletter, and so okay. I reject the premise 100%. But, you know,
But you still can't answer why your paper intentionally tries to fool readers into believing that Russian propaganda is news and that you haven't bothered to cover it. And
no.
Your job is to cover the media. I think that's what it says in your column. But again,
that's
February
true.
4th, your
that's
paper
true.
Reports that Steve Bannon, it is true, Steve Bannon drives over to the Department of Homeland Security to advocate for Trump's executive orders. The story turns out to be totally false. It didn't happen. And by the way, your reporters never even called the White House to ask. That's fine. We all make mistakes. You didn't cover it. You didn't cover on January 26th when the State Department fired its entire management team, so said your headline. The story turned out to be totally a crock. You didn't cover that. Why don't you cover your own paper's shortcomings is the question.
I think you missed something, Mr. Carlson. Would you look back, I believe it was in January as well, the Post reported something that wasn't quite straight about, I believe it was a power plant up in Vermont. I wrote a very hard-hitting piece about that situation. And if you go back...
You did? I read the piece. You want to read what you read? What you wrote? By the way, two of your reporters reported that the Russian government had broken into and hacked the U.S. electricity grid. They were wrong. You said they were wrong. You never bothered to talk to your own reporters, presumably in the same newsroom that you're in. And here's how you ended the piece.
Did you not read my post on that matter?
Not only did I read your post, I just reread it about 10 minutes ago, and you did not interview those reporters in there. You said that the paper wouldn't talk to you.
I pushed for an interview with editor Marty Baron. The story
what about the reporters
was very
who wrote the
critical
piece?
Of the Washington Post, and I wouldn't know.
Was
too.
It?
I wouldn't
was
know
it? Because here's the last
Here,
line,
wait,
and I'm quoting.
Second. Wait 1 second, Mr. Carlson. Wait 1 second, okay? And you know, there's the high-pitched laugh. I appreciate the high-pitched laugh. Anyway.
I appreciate your failing to give me an answer. What's the answer?
All right, there are few, if any, news organizations that allow their in-house media reporter to do as much coverage of their own shop as Fred Hyatt and Marty Baron allowed
Kelly
me
Hoots
to do.
This?
And I'll cite you a few examples.
It's Kelly
you just declined to do it? Is that what you're saying? They allow you, but you out of cowardice, refuse to? Like, what are you saying?
I did a story about, I don't know how many months ago, about the failure of the Washington Post to get diverse professionals in the higher ranks of the paper. I also broke the story within the Washington
Post. Wow, good for you. But you're not answering my questions about why you did. These are real stories. They're not about diversity in your newsroom. You didn't interview the reporters who wrote the story. And then you end with this. The missteps mar an otherwise spectacular run for the Post. Now, when you write something that brown nosy, do you feel guilt?
No.
Do you feel like I'm doing my job as a hard-hitting media reporter? A spectacular run of my own publication, my own employers?
Finish the post, Mr. Carlson. Read till the end, please.
That's actually that's the end of it. And then you go on.
Read the entire last paragraph, please, for me.
Oh, is that where you interview the editor who assigned the piece, the reporters who screwed it up? You get to the question of how it happened? Oh, that wasn't in the piece.
I don't have it in front of me.
Because you were afraid to track it down because you worked there.
No, and I will continue. I also broke at the Washington Post the story of how, this was a couple of years ago, a few years ago, the advertising side of the paper was putting the arm on the magazine to push content in a certain direction.
Was it Russian propaganda? Oh, you missed that story.
You're
quite the sleuth, aren't you? It's actually in the paper when you open it up in the middle of it.
Mr. Carlson, did you do anything on Brett Baer's report that there would be an FBI investigation related to the Clinton Foundation? What did you say?
No, but I think that you did. Actually, Eric, I think that you did.
Let me talk.
I'm not the self-described media reporter.
No,
I don't cover the media. You do.
Oh, yeah. Well, you cover media every single day. I watch you.
Ooh,
you are everybody on Fox News covers the media.
No, I think that's your job, Eric.
Of Fox News. Listen,
right.
Mr. Carlson, I want to ask
you. Well, you would know because you're a little obsessive about Fox News, I notice. You've covered Fox News in the last 10 months 23 times more than MSNBC. And look, you've got a political agenda. You're a lefty.
No, no.
You're angry about politics. I get it. But here's my question to you. does Jeff Bezos, who owns your paper, does Marty Baron, who edits it, do they ever call you and say, you know, good job, Eric, you're doing a real good job as a media critic? Do they ever tell you? I'm just a sincere question. Do they ever say that to you?
Let me finish with an earlier point that you just seemed to steamroll me on. But what did you say when Brett Baer reported falsely that there would be an FBI indictment, there would be a federal indictment related to the Clinton Foundation 1 week before the election against Donald Trump?
Yeah.
What did you say about that?
As a media reporter,
we'll
have to go back to the tape.
So you're saying,
Eric, look, I get it. You can't answer the question. So you're saying that I somehow have an obligation to be a media reporter, but I'm not a media reporter, and you are. And you get a lot of mileage out of it. I'm Mr. Media Reporter. I'm brave. They give me all this rope, and I can do whatever I want. But you don't. And instead, you single-mindedly pursue your political agenda. And my question is, please answer it. Does the owner of your paper, Jeff Bezos, who runs Amazon, does he ever call you and say, good job? Or does Marty Baron ever say, you're doing what we want you to do? Are you acting on their instruction? Do they notice what you're doing? What do they think of it?
My direct boss is Fred Hyatt. I do not.
Does he say, good job, Eric Wemple? Like, really insightful. Does he ever say that? I'm wondering.
I wouldn't quote him as that. And I don't appreciate the puerile angle of inquiry here.
It's not puerile. It's sincere, because I don't see you as a media critic. I see you as a political hack, acting out his political beliefs on paper with the cover of media criticism. I'm just a media critic.
One of the most devastating interviews I've ever heard. I didn't mean to play that much, but I wanted you to hear the hack. We do have a call. Thanks for the call. All right. I've said this a million times. If you're calling when I have a clip on, I will answer the phone. You will probably not be able to hear me because there's a clip playing. And just hold on and I'll get back to you. But if you want to call back, 523-1450, if I'm playing a clip and you call in, you're going to hear the clip when I pick up the phone. That's just the nature of how the board is laid out here. Anyway, we'll take a break here. Fantastic, though, wasn't it? I mean, unbelievable. He totally buried that guy. And I was talking to this friend of mine yesterday, and they wanted an explanation about Trump, and I said something about fake news, and they went nuclear. And I thought, my whole life I've been watching the media distort the news, and now I have to explain to this person who's liberal, who either doesn't notice it or doesn't care, that the media has been slanted for decades. I have to explain that yes, the left does do fake news. I mean, do they do anything else? 7:42, Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. Here's some weather. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Kelly.
Hey, Kelly, it's Tom.
Hey, what's up? Hold on one second. Hey, it's Kelly. Who's this?
I just wanted to make a quick call. People don't realize, I don't think, they have to investigate what's going on in this country and in this world, where we're headed to, and where these leftists who are actually communist socialists, where they're leading us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've infiltrated everything. They couldn't beat us in a war, so this is how they're doing it.
Absolutely. Pat, did you want to? You're not on the air right now. Did you want to wait to say that on the air?
I'll leave it up to you.
Yeah, sure. It sounds like good content. Hold on. We'll be back. Just don't hang up, okay?
Okie doke.
All right, Tom.
Yes, sir.
I got a call exactly when you called in. Sorry about that. What's up?
Okay, that's okay. Did you hear about the staged event in front of the library yesterday at about 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon?
No.
They had almost one of those Trump things in the sidewalk on the street with people sitting linked in arms, blocking traffic.
For what?
They were protesting because of ICE had done a sweep through the city and checked some papers on some documents on people. So they got all upset about it. And the ICE was doing their job. And they started doing a protest down there in front of the library. And I went down there on my motorcycle and passed by. And then they were, you know, the police were directing traffic away from it. And then when I came back on my motorcycle, that all ended. I mean, the news, they were all packing up and everything. It was like a media event, you know, to show, you know, to put something on TV.
Interesting. You want to mention it on the air?
No, I'll let you go, Kelly.
Thanks, Tom. Here we go, Pat. You ready?
Yes, I'm ready. I just want to
hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on.
Okay.
Just follow my lead.
Okay.
All right, folks, we have a call from Pat. Pat, you had some commentary about infiltration by Marxists.
Yes, I really do believe this. I'm a senior citizen, and I see it happening to our citizens. You know, to get a freebie check every month or whatever. As citizens, we have to investigate and see what's going on with these leftists and Democrats, and they have infiltrated everything between the media and the Democratic Party and even some in the Republican Party for this globalist movement to make us all, as commentators, as sheeple. And we have to watch where we're going, and it's sad for me to see, and I just wish more citizens would see where this all is leading us to and not just give in to, because we always vote this way or that way. We
okay, Pat, take a breath occasionally. It helps with your helps with your breathing. Hey, I agree. I'm a junior citizen. I agree 100%. When I see these people get up and say these doctrinaire things, yesterday I'm talking to my friend and I'm thinking this guy, he doesn't even know what liberal is. I said, you're fighting for, I guess, liberalism. He goes, yeah. And I said, what is it? And he goes, I don't know. I mean, he couldn't even define it.
Yep.
But he's fighting for it. He's fighting for it. And you've got these people that get dropped in and they're like missionaries. There is with all due respect, have as much fortitude as any Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon. I mean, they will pound the pavement. They will get up and argue there, you know, they will stare you down. They will talk you down. They will give you a guilt trip to end all guilt trips. And they don't even know what they're talking about 90% of the time.
Yes, and one author called it do-gooders. You think you're doing good, but you're not. You're being led by the nose. And, it, you know, communism didn't work in Cuba, Venezuela, Russia, China, and now in Europe. And do we want to be like that? Do we want to live like that? I don't.
No,
I don't. I worry for my grandkids.
Not at all. Well, I got to take a break. Pat, thanks for the call. Great points. Have a good day.
You too.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right, folks. All right. So, communism never works. So if you want fresh meat, you're in Venezuela, where do you go? You go to the zoo, silly. You break into the zoo and you go into a cage and you stab some poor critter that's probably starving to death anyway. Why? Because the communist or socialist country, there's really no difference between socialism and communism. But you break into the zoo and eat some critter that doesn't, you know, probably saving it from further suffering. We have another call. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Sally. I just had to laugh about Chuck Schumer yesterday commenting that he was concerned that the tapes with all this Mike Flynn business were going to be erased. And I thought to myself, well, he didn't seem concerned with Lois Lerner losing her or her backup, all her stuff crashing. And he didn't seem concerned about Hillary. It's amazing that he's concerned about these tapes now, but gave no concern about.
Well, that's a good point. And Sally, I would say, in addition, the 900-pound elephant or chimp in the room is NSA's got all this stuff. I mean, why would we have to go to Russia or China or anywhere else to get emails when we have this giant repository in Bluffdale, Utah, that holds everything that's ever been created on the internet?
Oh, well, I wasn't aware of that. But when you said 900-pound chimp, I was thinking of Nancy Pelosi. Oh, well.
Well,
all right. Have a good day.
Thanks. Thank you. 900-pound chimp with a plastic head would be probably closer to... Nancy Pelosi is bizarre. And she's always had this kind of... I was trying to figure out who she reminded me of, because a lot of times she talks in sound bites and kind of hiccups in between. Porky Pig, it's exactly, I found where she was kind of hesitating and kind of coughing up these statements. A lot of times, if you typed up her statements, it would be one broken sentence or you know, she doesn't follow any of the rules of English composition, but she sounds like Porky Pig. She just kind of coughs this stuff up. So anyway, take a break here and come back. 7:50, Kelly O'Connell, I'm Les Cruces, 1450, 523, 1450. We'll be right back.
You got the love I need. Maybe more than enough.
We'll end up with a little comedy here, but here is Nancy Pelosi stuttering on energy.
They have a vote. They'll have to use their imagination as to how they can get a vote, and they may get a vote. But I'm trying to, you know, we have serious policy issues in our country. The President of the United States has presented this, but for this, our economy would be booming. But for this, gas would be cheaper at the pump. It's simply not true. And even the President himself, in his statement yesterday and before.
All right, here's my interpretation of Nancy Pelosi.
I pledge allegiance to the flag, and I pledge allegiance to the flag of the
All right, so here is a little comedic piece, Jesus Babysitter. Check it out.
I love it. And see, everybody asks us,
straight up, you know, as comedians. I've been doing this a long time, and they say, how do you really get your material? Are they true stories? They are true stories, but one of the things that happens is someone will say something to us, and we'll develop it. We'll go, what if it were real? And the one that has hit me since Christmas Eve service, I keep thinking about, is Jesus's babysitter. Oh, look, now some of you are going to get uncomfortable here. I do. Look at this. I do a mama joke and a Jesus joke and have you like, oh, crap. He's talking about God now. God's going to get upset and we don't have two of every animal in here.
It's Kelly who's
we all know whatever your faith is, God has a sense of humor. I think he does. And I think Jesus' babysitter had, I mean, Mary and Joseph had to go out at some point. And the kid did have a tendency to wander. Right? I mean, what would you say? What would you say if you were Jesus' babysitter? You'd be like, get off of that water and get in the tub right this minute, young man. I don't know. Dinner time comes along. You'd be, hey, look, we got fish. Wow, we got more fish. Look at all this fish. It just keeps. Where did all this bread come from?
Hey, it's Kelly.
Why does your sippy cup have wine in it?
It's Kelly who's dead.
It's Kelly. It's right.
Hey, what's up?
I just close that door. What do you think?
Put
you were born in a barn? Okay, well, here, I got, wait till your real father gets home. Who's moaning me on that one? Like Joseph didn't know? I mean, I guess there was no Maury Povich baby daddy show back then, but. See, I think God has a sense of humor. I think there's lots of places where you think, what, was it real? I mean, did Jesus go to high school? Did he go to Jerusalem High? The fighting yarmulkes of Jerusalem High? Did he get career counseling on being, you know, it's like, well, your scores on careers have come back, Jesus, and you did real good in shop. Shop by, looks like that's a good, well, Savior, look at that. You're off the charts on Savior.
And
he'd be like, well, I could be a carpenter and lay shingles, or I could be Savior and heal shingles. Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah. I think.
All right, folks, I hope that wasn't too, I thought it was kind of funny, but maybe it was a little sacrilegious. If so, I apologize. Oops. So, anyway, 7:58, we're almost done with the show. I'm telling you again, if you call in, you're not going to be able to hear me because there's going to be something playing in the background. I can hear you. You just got to wait until I get off the air. Where the clip is finished. So just remember that. You got to kind of drive by radar sometimes. 7:59, thanks for tuning in. Really appreciate hanging out with you. Great show with Ben Rossin today. And stay safe out there. We'll meet you back in 22 hours. AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, KOBE channel.
Me. You got so much, so much, so much.